Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Chris Johnson is in the house, and the great thing is Chris is aspiring angler.
Yep.
He's been aspiring for a long time. The gist of this is if you have been very successful in wintertime fishing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're going to find out how we can become better wintertime fishermen. So we're gonna shoot out some questions and we're gonna find some answers. And so I mean the first question is I brought my favorite topwater bait for wintertime fishing. Now, this might be a little big, you think, or should I go more finesse?
Yeah, I would probably downsize a little bit. Yeah.
Downsize?
Yeah.
All right, and so.
You may need one that'll dive, too, if you
want. Dive. This is my Zell roll. Zell actually autographed this. It's number 184 out of 500. They only made 500, and this one's 184.
Wow. So,
Zell, appreciate you autographing my wintertime favorite. But yeah. What do you got that'll actually work?
Oh boy, do I have! You know, it's a wintertime fishing for me, and is all about crankbait fishing for the most part. Now I love throwing a jig, and I love throwing bucktail jigs and a lot of things. But my number one thing for wintertime is throwing a crankbait. And it revolves around two main baits and then a handful of others.
All right.
But it's going to be the Spro Rock Crawler and an old school Wiggle Wart.
Okay.
So, and it's both of those baits are fantastic. I originally was just mainly about the old school Wiggle Wart.
Right.
And as time has went on, this Spro Rock Crawler has really began to take its place for me. Uh-huh. Plus, it's a lot more accessible. It's hard to find these old Wiggle Warts that are really good, the vintage ones that work great. But so I've switched more to the Rock Crawler.
You can go in the store and buy them.
You can walk in there and buy one for a reasonable price.
Right.
And so that's what I throw a lot of the time now.
That's two different models. So explain why you're using two different models.
Yep. So I'm going to begin with these two, and earlier in the year, it's like right now we're going in, the water temps are just starting to fall. You've got the Rock Crawler 55MD, which is just a medium diving 55 size, and then you had the regular 55, and you can see they have two different lengths of bill, but the same body.
Right.
So earlier in the year, before these fish kind of start stepping off into that 8 to 12 feet of water.
Right.
We're targeting more shallower water in the early winter. I like this MD model. It's more reminiscent of the Wiggle Wart shape to me. There's wobble, the slow wobble, and the angled bill. It's not going to, this is bait maximum depth, maybe 8 feet.
Right.
So, and as we go into the winter, you just want to target shallow rock. And that's what you're looking at. As it gets colder, we'll go to this bait as we're wanting to get a little deeper in that 8 to 12 foot zones when we're going to move to this bait. So, but most always crawfish type patterns as the water begins to cool. Like right now, we're in the mid 60s probably after today. But as we start getting into these 60s, mid 50s, it's going to be all about crawfish, imitating crawfish, and that's what these baits are going to do for you. So, that's where I start, and I'm going to look for transitional banks, places that fish are moving up to out of the main lake. You know, you've had a lot of fish out roaming, chasing shad, but now they're going to want to start moving up onto the shore, and I'm going to look for shallow, rocky transition areas with boulders, maybe gravel with patches of boulders that are close to deep water, channel bank ends, that end of a bank that's maybe flat, but then it changes into 45 degree bank with boulders, all those kind of transition areas, cranking that bait hard into those rocks, bumping along, and identifying where those fish want to pick it up at is going to catch you a ton of fish.
And so location, that's the deal.
That's the deal.
If you got to be at the right spot, and then you're picking out.
What?
Are you changing colors a lot during the day or not?
I'm kind of a guy I don't change a lot of colors.
Right.
With the water clear, I'm going to stick to
like watermelon seed.
Yep. Yeah. Or, phantom crawfish. Yeah. The darker brown, you know, craw patterns like that.
Yeah.
I think this is called ghost craw. But as the water sometimes will begin to kind of get a funny look to it in the winter or some stain, I'm going to move into more of the reds.
Uh-huh.
The reds and maybe something with some chartreuse.
Oh.
So as we start seeing a little stain, I'm really going to start leaning on, say, this type of bait.
Right.
Like this red crawfish.
Yeah, that's or a
like this is a Norman I throw as well a lot. It fits that deep.
That's hot chili or chili powder.
Chili bowl or
chili bowl like that.
But your red and orange is really right. Start coming into play as we get into those 50s.
Right.
And so if I've seen it start to see a little bit of stain, I'm going to start shifting to the reds. Or my chartreuse patterns. Like this is a watermelon. It's got a green, olive green back with chartreuse underneath.
Right.
If we got a little stain, I'm going to switch to those or what I'm going to start backing up with. So that's kind of how I do on colors. I don't get too crazy.
And sometimes we, like in past years, we've got really high water and it's been muddy. Or we got that first 5 inches of rain when 10 inches to follow. But are you switching crankbait colors to red when you hit that mud? Is that it?
Yep. If it's muddy, I'm going to be throwing red. Fire tiger, some other colors.
Oh, all right.
Another thing that happens if you do run in the winter, if you run into a muddy water situations, a solid white bait becomes a real player in that. It kind of becomes about maybe a shad bite or something, but the bait just stands out so well. I'll go to a solid white if you see really muddy water in the winter when I'm cranking, I'm going to go with that kind of thing. Or a vivid, like this,
look at that.
There's an old Rebel Super R. It's one of my favorites.
Can you get that in the store?
No, you're going to have to find these at flea market.
Oh, all right.
I love this bait right here. It's just a solid orange red color.
Yeah.
And it's got a really hard wobble. So if you got cold, muddy water, this bait will shine.
Do you have a big O in there? Or
I don't have.
Do you throw a big O?
I do a lot. Yes. Uh-huh. It's good. Early like this as water still reasonable temp.
Because it doesn't dive deep.
No. Yeah. 4 or 5 feet at the most. So like right now we're in the 60s, a square bill type bait is probably your best choice or more of a medium diving type bait like this.
After we get 4 more days, you won't have to worry about that. We'll be into solid winter.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to see temps drop quick and you can get into these crawl patterns and things like that and really catch some.
Let's see what else you got in there. So show us some more of your wintertime fishing.
So, over the years, I'll go through these. The Deep Little Inn prior to the Rock Crawler 55 was my go-to on the deeper fish.
Right.
It's still a really great bait. So I throw these a lot still. It's one of those I follow up with. I had a Wigglewort and a Deep Little Inn. Now I kind of go with the Spro. But another great winter bait over the years has been just a Bomber 7A.
Wow.
As you can tell, that one's made a couple of casts.
That's got hook rash.
Yeah, it's that bright red, kind of candy red color. It's been excellent. And this old standard Fire Tiger, you get that muddy water in the winter, it's a great bait. Along with these, this is a bait too.
Look at those.
They don't dive super deep, but they've got a really hard wobble. Another great fall winter bait for me over the years, the Rebel Super R. It's a slow mover. It just roots around and beats in the rocks. So another one of my old favorites. It kind of goes along with what I do anyway.
And when you're not using electronics out trying to minnow jig a fish up, then you're using the bank. You're reading the bank.
Yes.
And that's how you're finding your fish.
Yes. Yeah. I'm reading the bank or I do a lot of old school topographical type study. So I'm looking for areas as we go into winter, you always want to be targeting areas that, and with map study, where the deep water gets close to some shallow water. So if you're going back in a creek, anywhere that, whether a channel or just a deep spot gets close to the bank, and then that's going to be what those fish are going to use in the winter. They want to have somewhere to move up and feed up shallow, and then they're going to ease out there and suspend over a deep spot, or just ease out there deep after a hard front or bluebird days. So you always want to pay attention to depths and deep water access close to shallow water type feeding areas, because in the winter, fish begin really, they use that. They go maybe a warm afternoon, they'll move up on a shallow little flat, feed like crazy, but then they'll ease right back off and not be there. And they just work back and forth. So very conditional, you know, blustery days like today, even in the winter, those fish will, they'll move up and feed. By tomorrow, if the sun pops out and it's slick, they'll just back off and stay out there and suspend.
And you have some baits that suspend in there too.
I do. Yep. As winter gets colder.
Okay.
We get into the January, February, we start seeing our water temps.
Look at that.
Fall into those, 40s, you know, I'm going to throw a crawfish type crankbait all the way down into 44 degree water. That's going to be what I'm sticking with for the most part. But now below that, I'll begin to shift to a shad type bait. For some reason, the ultra cold water, I think the fish suspend a little more. Then I'm going to shift to something more like this old school number 7 shad wrap. This is a number 8. I like to weight mine where they'll suspend.
Right.
And, so this one's been drilled and weighted, and it's a fish catcher once we get into that really cold water. Begin to slow down a little bit. You're working these same deep water transitions areas, but you're going to slow way down. And the shad wrap has been one of my favorites going into January, February, that late winter, as well as just an old school. Well, ain't that cool? Just your old school jerk bait.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Yeah, that's
Table Rock shad.
Oh, that's money.
Yeah, that's a good color. Even in that clear water. If you're getting someone a Father's Day present or a Christmas present, go to the store and buy them one that looks like this. Because if you live in the Ozarks, you will catch fish on that color.
You will every time, and it don't matter if the water's clear, muddy. It's kind of the all the time bait. Yeah. So, but Megabass 110 is another. Yep. Wonderful bait. You can tell that one's been thrown a lot. But that water starts getting in that low 40s and the high 30s. Targeting the same kind of transition areas, but I'm going to switch to jerkbait.
How do you work those? Are you one that works it fast? Or are you a slow?
I'm an extreme.
Reacher, text messages while you in between jerks.
Yeah, dude. You can make a video with the time I'm waiting for the next jerk. But I love fishing jerkbait, but it's ultra slow. It's very precise fishing.
Your cadence on that usually?
Man, I kind of have a funny cadence. I'm more about a cast it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to soft reel it down a little ways and wait. Uh-huh. And then it's going to be a soft twitch.
Oh.
Like just very little.
Uh-huh.
I still use clear blue fluorescent line when I'm twitching a jerkbait. Monofilament. I want to be able to see my line laying on the water. When this water gets cold, it boils down to almost just I'm going to tighten up my line.
Oh,
and the bait's going to I'm doing enough to see my line. It's laying on the water.
Uh-huh.
I just pull it till it tightens up.
Wow,
that's it. And then I'll just maybe reel up a little slack and just sit there and wait 30, 40 seconds, and then tighten up my line. All I'm wanting for me personally.
Yeah.
And now this technique is not an everyday thing. So that's why I don't use one a lot. But when the conditions align for that ultra cold water, very specific spots on a break or a cedar tree or a rock, is you're getting that bait right where it's, you know, if this was a rock sitting there, you're getting this bait right there on this fish. You know it's sitting right there above him. You just want to do that. And when you tighten up your line, it just flickers like that.
Uh-huh.
And because if you give it 2 or 3, if it's super cold and you bring that bait in here, you give it 2 hard twitches, it's now here.
Uh-huh.
And he's still here. He's not coming out here to get it. So my concept on that is I'm looking for a very big bass, and I want this bait just sitting on the end of his nose to where he finally just – and once I feel like I've cleared that spot, I'm going to reel my bait in. I throw the exact same cast again and bring it right back there and just twitch. Just easy twitches. That's how I prefer to fish a jerkbait. And it's not normal, but it's a hooey.
Well, now, lately, some people have just been reeling them in slowly.
Oh, really?
It's been like people haven't been talking about, but I know that there are some people that are just doing that, that are taking a twitch bait, casting it out, and reeling it back really slow.
Oh, I might have to investigate that a little bit.
I haven't heard that. Yeah, not very many people know that. I just let the cat out of the bag on that deal. But I've seen it work. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I don't know. I'm not doing much anything. I said, okay. And then I watch them and I film them. And I'm like, I know exactly what you're doing because I'm filming you doing that action. And so it's a very slow, like tedious, like thing. And they just come up and slurp it down.
Wow. Yeah. I need to incorporate that into, that's how I prefer to jerk fish. And, but there's also a lot of, boat positioning, understanding the spot you're fishing.
Yeah.
All that has to come into play. So again, it goes back. I really study my maps and what I've got going. I'm looking for a small area to make a lot of casts and trigger a bass I know is living there.
So when the weather's changing and it's getting bad and the fish are real active and you can pull most of this stuff out and catch them.
Yeah.
What happens? Tell us how you're going to catch fish when you get a northwest wind coming in, it's cold, and you got this tackle box. What are you going to pull out, and where are you going to fish?
I'm going to fish
Main Lake, what area?
What water temp?
What water temp? Let's hit you at 45.
45?
48. I'll be nice to you.
45, 48. If it's windy, I'm throwing that crankbait.
Okay.
I will. I may have to vary my retrieve some, depending on water temperature, slow down a little bit. But at 45, 46, I'll be with that rock crawler or that wiggle wart. I may have a jerk bait laying there, but more than likely 90% of my day will be spent with that wiggle wart and that rock crawler, targeting wind. Again, looking for the same kind of places, channel swings, bluff ends, transitions, rocky spots off of, a point or something like that, really targeting where the wind is hitting. Even if it's bluebird, if you can get some wind, even in that cold water, those fish are going to bite.
So you're fishing on Beaver Lake. It's basically cut into three sections, river arm, middle section, and a dam.
Yep.
Which way are you going in the winter? Let's say you're fishing a tournament. You got to decide.
In the winter.
Temperature's 50.
Oh, 50. I'm going to spend my time from the mid lake to Rocky Branch.
So okay.
I'll stay in that complete mid lake. That's the area I prefer. Usually you have a little bit of watercolor, even if it's clear. That's where I prefer to be at. So I'm going to say Horseshoe Bend to, say, Ford's Creek. That's the area I'm going to target. On Beaver Lake, we've got a lot of great transitions in that area, lots of channel turns and swings, a lot of places where you got boulder rock changing to gravel. A lot of those, even there, we hit that part of the lake has a lot of even some long bluff lines that if you want to fish some of that. But it also has lots of short areas of that 45-degree rock bank that you can get on that aren't too extensive, that you can target a short, 50-yard area of that or 100 and catch a lot of fish. So that's what I'm going to look for.
All right, 45-degree banks, people always say, just go fish 45-degree banks. Yay, no.
No.
What's the scoop on it?
No, it is the 45-degree bank thing is very important, but what I found personally is I can't get on a mile long piece of 45-degree bank that looks all the same and catch any fish off of it. I'll catch some, but if I'm going to look at a bank like that again, it's going to go all the way back to some map study. I want to know the two places on that bank that are either deeper or shallower, or there's a change. I need a transition somewhere on that bank to go. Down here about 50 yards, there's a little gravel spot or a wash or something happening there, maybe a rock. That's going to be the part I want to tell you. The bank's the right bank. I need something different there for me. Or a deep spot. Maybe the channel just wherever that place has one spot that gets just deeper than the rest of it. Now that part of that 45-degree bank is going to be killer. It's going to be killer.
So that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. They do have a bunch of square bills, and they got 42 different crank baits in there. I see you hid that one.
It's already in my main tackle box at the house. Oh.
So I give him one. He's beach ball. Like that's an awesome color. So if you're going out there, check out their crankbaits. You can try theirs. A lot of people use them for crappie fishing, but we catch everything on them from walleyes to stripers to whites to all game fish that are out there. You can catch them on that. They also have a complete line of soft plastics and jig heads for crappie fishing. And of course, this time of year, crappie fishing is really good on the lake. So you can check them out. Also, B&M Poles is a sponsor. They have a complete line of fishing poles, everything from catfish to brim to trout. And, of course, crappie. And they have all kinds of different crappie rods. And, of course, you might be catching some roamers. They got the big 18-foot or 16-foot long rods. A lot of people like black widows. They like using those for catching roamers. Check them out at bnmpole.com. Chris, they want to find out more about you and maybe see you fishing some of these spros or some of these older baits you can't get no more. Where would they go?
Well, you can go. Best place is to go to my YouTube channel, which is Aspiring Tournament Angler Chris Johnson. You can go there. I put a lot of old school videos of all kinds of different baits. Everything I fish, I put on there and talk about. I do a lot of talking about the history of how some of these lures came along and why they're here. And just a lot of fishing stuff. So, and you might see my little three wiener dogs on there every now and then, too.
That's right. Boy, that that one was really going, that's for sure. So,
oh, yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Well, with that, we're going to end the show like we always do. Make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.